Lord, we come humbly to your word. We submit to the authority of your word, and we ask, Lord, that you will speak to us. May the Holy Spirit open our eyes, open our spirit, and Lord, give us a willingness, a willing heart to embrace your word and obey you. This we ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen. I was so excited this week. As you know, last Sunday, I preached at the end of my message that, you know, it had been some time, quite some time, since I had been able to share the Lord, share the gospel with anyone, and it really troubled me. It bothered me. And so, this week, a young man that has come up through our youth group in this church, he called me, and he wanted to see me. He wanted to get together and talk with me. And so we got together, and he said his life was a disaster. His words, his life, he was lost, and he felt dead. He had gotten so far off the rails that he couldn't see his way back. Before I go on with the story, let me just pause there and say, you know, it's not just the pit that God can pull you out of. It's not just the mess, the disaster that God can put in your life. But if you'll follow the Lord and obey His Word, it's the mess that God will keep you from. It's the mess going off the rails that destroys our lives. You can be a Christian and still screw your life up royally by going off the rails, by going and doing your own thing. Amen? So, stay on track with Christ. This young man came and met with me and just poured his heart out to me. He's gotten into all kinds of stuff. Everything that he could do to try and numb the pain that he was experiencing in his life. I won't go into details, but I will tell you that as we counseled together, as we prayed together, as we shared the word with him and challenged and encouraged him, and then prayed with him, he began to sense that God was restoring him. God was working. And at the end of that time, he recommitted his life to Jesus Christ. And then we had communion together. It was a beautiful time. I just thank the Lord Jesus that he gave me that opportunity to share the gospel right on the heels of that message and on the preface of this one. And so we're looking here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul is speaking to the Corinthian believers, and he's speaking to these Corinthian believers almost 2,000 years ago, but he is speaking to us today. The Spirit of God is using the words of God, the truth of God, to speak to us today. And I hope that you will receive this word and take it to heart. The main point of this message is this, that now that we are reconciled to God, and I believe many of us here in this congregation are. And if we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, now we are called to be His ambassadors. And we are to represent Him to everyone around us. Everyone around us. You might ask, well, Pastor, you know, I'm not sure who I'm supposed to represent Him to. Everyone and anyone. Anyone that comes in contact with you. Anyone that you have interaction with. Maybe it's somebody that you work with. Maybe it's somebody that you go to school or go to college classes with. Maybe somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe it's somebody that you see at the daycare center. Maybe somebody that somehow, through interesting circumstances, God brings you into contact with. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are called to represent Him to everyone around us. Let's ask the question, what does it mean to be Christ's ambassador? What does that mean? Well, we read here in this passage, in verse 20, that we are His ambassadors. An ambassador is one who is an authorized representative, an authorized messenger. This is us. This is you and me. Jesus Christ has called us to himself, and if he's called us to himself, if he's called you to himself, and you've responded to that call, and you've become one of his children, one of his sons, one of his daughters, you're not only a son or a daughter, now you are his ambassador. You're his authorized messenger. You are his authorized representative. You represent Christ to everyone around you. Let me say that again. You represent Jesus Christ to everyone around you. Whether you know that or not, whether you accept it or not, you and I represent Jesus Christ to people all around you. That's a pretty heavy mantle. That's a pretty heavy responsibility. And let me be the first to say that there are times that that I don't represent him so well. There are times that I fail. There are times that I guess I could say that Jesus is probably sitting up there on the throne next to the Father, and you might poke the Father and say, "He did it again. He did it again. He said it again." We don't do it perfectly, but you know what? We can't let that stop us. We can't let that drive us back. If we fail, if we mess up, what do? We confess it, ask forgiveness, we get up and get going again. Don't let the enemy paralyze you. Don't let the fact that you fail or that you fall or that you mess up paralyze you. You know, and a lot of people get into the paralysis of analysis. They're like, "Oh, Pastor, well, you know, I sinned yesterday, and just to confess to the Lord, I told the Lord I wasn't going to do it again, but I did it again today. I failed again today. I'm just useless. The Lord can't use me." Nonsense. Don't believe that lie. That's a lie of the evil one. You see, God uses imperfect vessels like you and like me. He has chosen, listen, he has chosen to use imperfect vessels, crackpots. All of you are crackpots. I'm a crackpot. He's chosen to use us so that his glory may be displayed in us. You see, if I had it all together and did everything perfect, I would take the glory. I would take the credit. But God uses crackpots so that all of the glory goes to him. So he has called us to himself, and now he calls us to be his ambassadors, his representatives. Well, let's stand. How has this come about? How has it come about that God has called us to himself, he's reconciled us, and then called us to be his ambassadors? Number one, well, if we're reconciled to God through Christ, then we become a new creation, we're told. In verse 17, we become a new creation through the indwelling Spirit of Christ. The old is gone. Listen, the old is gone. The new has come. I believe we have verse 17 up there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I think the old King James says, "You're a new creature." I never really liked that word too much, called a creature. I remember when I was young in school, some of the girls used to call me that. "Leonard, you're a creature." So I'm glad that they changed that in the NIV. We're a new creation. Through the indwelling Spirit of Christ, he has made me new. Now watch. Go to verse 18 for me. How about 18? Let's try that. No? Go back to 17. I like that. There it is. My bad. The old is gone. The new has come. Do you believe it? That is prophetic. Do you believe it? This is the word of the Lord. Now, you may not experience it. You may say, "Oh, PC, there's an awful lot of the old that I just keep experiencing." That may be. But we are talking about truth here, spiritual reality. Through Christ, he has made you and I new. The old is gone. The new has come. Now, we just have to live it. We have to live in it. We don't do that through our own strength. We do it through the power of the indwelling, transforming Spirit. He works it out in us, but we have to accept and believe by faith God's Word is true. The old is gone, the new has come. Let me try to illustrate that. After recommitting my life to Christ, I was 19. People began to come up to me. You know how it is. They try to trap you, you know. They try to get you to say something out of anger, you know, curse or something you shouldn't say, you know, fall into a trap because they heard that you've become a freak. And I had people coming up to me at work and they'd be poking me and trying to, you know, trying to rouse me and trying to get me to lose my temper, something, lose my cool so that I'd say something. And then they would do this, and I'm sure you've experienced this. They'll bring something up that I had done. Oh, you're a Christian? Well, what about a few months ago at that party? Were you a Christian then? And here's how I just began to answer them through the Word of God. I would say, you know, that was the old me, and that old me is gone. That's it. I'm not going to say, oh, no, I'm not like that anymore. I'm perfect now. No. But I will say what the Word says. That was the old me, and that old me is gone. Now, if that's the case, if you speak that truth, then we better live it. Amen? We better live out of the reality of the indwelling Spirit of Christ. But you can't do that on your own strength. That's why every day when you wake up in the morning, you say, Spirit of God, fill me. Spirit of God, fill this old flesh within me and let me live in the newness of life that I have in Christ. Amen? That's how we live. And then when we encounter something, when we fail, we deal with it by confessing and repenting. So God has made us new in Jesus Christ. It's something He has done. He has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. Are you reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? Have you come to that place where you have received Jesus Christ, where you said, God, I understand that I need Jesus Christ to be reconciled in my life? Verse 20, Paul says this, even as he's speaking to the Corinthian church. He's speaking to people mostly who are Christians. But Paul adds this in verse 20. He says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And so I say the same thing with Paul. Though there may be many of us here that are Christians today, that we've been reconciled to God through Christ. We have given our lives to Christ and asked His forgiveness. There may be some of us here today that are not reconciled. We have not yet done that. We have not invited Christ into our life. We have not asked His forgiveness. And so I say with Paul, today, be reconciled with God. We implore you. We urge you. By the Spirit of God who is working right now in hearts, touching hearts, be reconciled to God. What are you waiting for? What will you say before a holy God when you stand before Him and you say to Him, He asks you the question, what have you done with my beautiful Son, Jesus Christ? What will you say? If you have not received Christ, if you have not trusted Him and asked for His forgiveness, you and I will have no excuse. We'll have no answer. We must be reconciled to God. Be reconciled today. If you've not done that, I challenge you, I urge you, do it today. Later in this very letter, Paul says this. He says, today is the day of salvation. Today. Not tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. Today. And so later in this service, we'll have an opportunity where you can put your faith in Christ. And so, Christ calls us to Himself. And then He calls us to live a life worthy of Him. To live out of the newness of life. That new creation that he said we are. So let me ask you, if you're a believer today, are you walking worthy of His calling? He's called you to be His, and now He's called you to walk worthy. Are you living a life in the power of the Spirit that is worthy of his calling. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says this. The same book, in the book of Ephesians, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Live by the leading of the Holy Spirit in you every day. Listen, if you're not living a life worthy of the calling, here's what people will see. Are you with me? Say amen. Make sure it's a little warm in here. I won't be any dozing off. They will see a disconnect in your life. They will see a contradiction in your life. They will see hypocrisy in your life. I hope that you care about that. You see, because I don't want to do anything that is going to bring dishonor to Jesus Christ. And you see, when we do, when we fail, when we do things that we should do, then the Spirit of God works in us, and it's called grieving the Spirit. And listen, you can drown out the voice of the Spirit. If you just keep doing something that you know is dishonoring to Christ, you know it's disobeying His Word, you know it is sin, but you just keep on doing it over and over. Christian, you can drown out the Spirit of God. You can grieve Him, but you can drown out His voice. Now, it doesn't mean that He leaves you. In fact, God promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even if you are faithless, I am with you. I am faithful. But, oh, we can get to a place where we don't hear His voice. Am I right? Even as Christians, you can get into a place where you just don't hear His voice anymore. You've drowned it out with the world. You've listened to the lies of the enemy, and you can't hear it. Your hearing has become thick in a stupor. There's a fellow who, years ago, got off the rail. He was following God. He was going strong after God, hard after God, and he got upset. He got offended at something. He got offended with God. He got offended with me. And I'm trying to talk with him. And you know what he said? He said, Pastor, just leave me alone. I had a sense that he was saying that to God, too. God, just leave me alone. I'm offended at you. I'm angry with you. Just leave me alone. You know what? God will do that for a while. He'll leave you alone for a while. He'll let you go off on your own and make your life into a disaster. He'll let you experience the consequences of your waywardness and your headstrongness. He will. But He calls us then to live a life worthy. And so we must turn to Him in repentance and faith and live by the leading of Jesus Christ in us. Number two. So He calls us to Himself. He calls us to live a life worthy of His calling. Then number two, as His ambassadors, He has committed to us this message of reconciliation to appeal to the unsaved around us. As His ambassadors, Jesus has committed this message of reconciliation to appeal to all of those around us. Look with me again, verse 20. We read it earlier. We are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. I don't know about you, but that just kind of blows my mind. That God would use me to make His appeal through me. I don't get that. I really don't understand that. But you know what? I accept it. You know, those of you who know me well, you know, I went on a mission trip with you guys. You know, I'm a goofball. You know, I like to goof off. I like to have fun. I like to cut up. And, you know, I don't always know what to say. I don't always know. You know, you get into a situation, I don't always have the right words. Even when I'm preaching, and when we were on the mission trip down there, it was like, hey, you got to be ready on the spot. And you might have, you know, a couple minutes to prepare, or not even. One day they said, oh, y'all are here to do a presentation. We thought it was just like a meet and greet. And all of a sudden, No, you're here to do a presentation. You're here to minister to these kids, right? And you're like, Jeff, no, we didn't know about this. Yeah, like 5 seconds to get ready. I don't always have the right words. I don't always feel very confident. You might think, oh, PC, you've been preaching 30 years. You probably know exactly what I don't always know what to say. Believe me, there are weeks that I pour through the Word and like, okay, Lord, what is it that you're trying to say? What do you want? But you know what? I accept the responsibility. Can you say that? I accept the responsibility because God has put it before us. He has put it on us. If you're going to be His follower, you also are going to be His ambassador. He has given this to us to appeal to the unsaved around us. Now, what is this message that we convey? It says that we're His ambassadors, which means we're authorized messengers. What is this message? Well, it's good news. It's good news. Verse 19. God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, not counting people's sins against them. I don't know about you, but I think that that's pretty good news. I think you could share that with people, and I think that they would be open to that. Don't ever second-guess people. Sometimes, you know, we think because a person looks a certain way, or maybe they dress a certain way, or maybe they have tats, or maybe they have piercings, or whatever. We think, oh, they wouldn't be interested. They certainly would reject the message of Christ. They wouldn't be open to it. Don't second guess God. We're going to get into this in just a minute. Don't second guess. Don't play the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit use you. One time, this was several years ago in our church building, we had worship service, and this young man walked in. And, he was dressed as a goth. He had, all kinds of studded leather, and his hair was all spiked up, and he had piercings, and, just dressed to the T that way. And I saw him come into the sanctuary, and I just kind of stepped back and just watched. And I just watched people interact with him. I got to be honest, I was very proud of you, our church, because many of you just went up to him, you greeted him, you welcomed him. It really made no difference of how he was dressed. And then a few minutes later, I got to interact with him. And I told him how glad we were that he came to Iowa Lions Church that morning and worshiped with us, and he stayed for the service. And, he didn't come back again after that. But you know what? I think we presented ourselves in a way that was appealing, that made him feel welcome, that made him feel that this was a place that if he chose to, he could be here. He could fit in right here. Now, he chose not to, and that's fine. Many people kind of think, well, you're going to dress weird. He's come looking at us saying, well, you all are just weird. But that's the kind of attitude we have to have. It's like, look, we're His messengers. We're not the judges. Amen? We're the messengers, not the judges. And so God has been reconciling the world to Himself in Christ. And God wants to be reconciled to you, and He wants you to reconcile others to Him, to present this message. Here's the key. What does that mean, to be reconciled? He wants a relationship with you, and He wants a relationship with me. And He wants you to have that relationship back. Many of you have come from different backgrounds, and many of you have been presented an understanding of God that, may or may not be healthy, may or not be dysfunctional, may or not be biblical. But I'm here to tell you, on the basis of God's Word, He desires a relationship with you. He does. And that's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I can have this relationship with Him. And guess what? It doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop with you and me. There is a whole world of people out here that God wants a relationship with. And He's asking, He's appealing to us to be His messengers, to be His authorized messengers, to be the ones that give this message of love and of God's reconciliation. This is what we can share with people, that God wants you and me to be His sons and daughters. I think sometimes we make it difficult for people to come to Christ. Somehow we give this message, this sense that they have to get their life together, they have to get their act together before they can come to God. I am so glad that that is not true. I am so glad that Christ accepts us just as we are. As the old hymn said, just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to Thee. I come just as I am. I don't come trying to make up for my sins or promising God I'm going to do better, because that's just a lie. I can't do better on my own. I can't do better. I can't clean myself up. But God accepts us right where we're at. He's already taken care of the sin problem through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? He's taken care of it. And so this is what we should share with people, that God has taken care of your sins in Christ. And I asked on the Facebook page, you know, people tell me what is difficult for you in sharing your faith. What troubles you in sharing your faith? One person said that I fear rejection. Well, listen, you don't need to fear rejection because it's not your message. It's not your product. I remember when I was very young, probably, I'm going to say 6 or 7 years old, my sister, my oldest sister, who passed, she had enrolled in college and took some art classes. And she had an easel pad, or a pencil pad, that she had drawn, I guess through the classes, all these pictures. Beautiful. She had incredible talent. It never bled over to me. I can't even do a stick figure. Anyway, I found her pad, and I'm looking through it. I'm like, wow, these are nice. I said, I could take these around the neighborhood. I could sell them. Yeah. And I did. I started walking around to my neighbors, and I showed them the pad. I said, hey, would you like to buy one of these nice drawings? You know? And a couple of people bought them. Man, I had pocket money. I had candy money. Well, I got down 2 or 3 houses to Mrs. Mount's house, and she came to the door, and she kind of was looking at me. Well, a couple of minutes later, she called my mom. She said, you know what your son's doing? Yeah, I got caught. I was mad. But here's the thing. Those pictures, you see, they were beautiful. But it wasn't, they weren't my drawings. If it was my drawings, I don't even think I would have shown anybody those drawings. But they were my sister's drawings. And they were beautiful. They were incredible. And so I could take those pictures and say, no, isn't that beautiful? Don't you want that? Listen, that's what we have to do with this beautiful message. Jesus, the beautiful one. We have to show people Jesus and say, he's beautiful. And he's taking care of your sins. There's nothing that's in between you except you coming to him. Don't you want him? Don't you want to know him and have a relationship with him? Become a son and a daughter of God? And he gives you new life and he gives you spirit. Don't you want this beautiful Jesus? And so we have to get our mindset that it's God's message. Not ours. And if somebody says, they put the hand up to it. I've had many people do that. Many people. I went into Dunkin' Donuts. This was years ago. It was still on the old location. I went to Dunkin' Donuts. And that particular day, I had my Jesus pendant on. No, I think it said Jesus on there. It's in the shape of a fist. So I went up to order a breakfast sandwich or something. And the guy on the counter, he served me. And then he looked at me and goes, what's that? Looking at my necklace, you know. And I hold it up. I said, oh, that's the necklace that says Jesus on it. And his face went. He just kind of stepped back away from it. And you know what? That's okay. Now, my flesh wanted to look back at him and say, through you. Yeah. That's what my flesh wanted to do, but I didn't do it. I just stood there and smiled. Because you know what? He's not making a face at me. He's making a face at Jesus. And I'm going to let Jesus do it. I don't have to say a word. I don't have to defend myself. You know, when people say things to you and they curse you out, they call you an idiot, that you're a weak person, and you need a crutch, that's why you're a Christian. Just smile. Just smile. So we don't need to worry about rejection. Someone else said that, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to freeze up. They put that on the Facebook page. Well, here's what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 14, verse 1, he said, don't worry about what you will say. Well, at that time, and he's talking there about standing before judges when we might be arrested, but the principle remains, he says, don't worry about what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak at that moment. There's many times that Brenda and I will sit around the kitchen table and we'll talk about some experiences that we've had, sharing with somebody, talking to somebody, and we'll both say, yeah, you know, I should have said that. You know, I just didn't think of it at the time. I just, you know what, that's okay. That's okay. Whatever you said, if I dedicated my life to Jesus that morning, and I said, Spirit of God, fill me and lead me this day, then whatever happens in it, except my sin, is being led by the Spirit. And so the words that I speak, it's okay. It's okay. You just leave that up and listen. The truth is, he really doesn't need us. Can you say amen? He really doesn't need us. I mean, we do know of the time that instead of using the prophet, he spoke to the prophet's donkey, right? Remember Balaam? And the donkey, you know, says to Balaam, why are you beating me? That was an interesting situation. You know, God can use a donkey. God can speak for anybody. So don't worry about that. Now, that is not an excuse to be lazy. That is not an excuse to not be in His Word and understand His Word. Every one of us should be able to share the basics of the gospel. That's another message. So don't worry about rejection. Don't worry about this process that God might use you in sharing the message of reconciliation. Let God work. Take joy. Take joy. You know what? I want to give you an exercise right now. Everybody with me? Okay. Take this thing and put it here. Take this other thing and put it here. And push up. Smile. Smile. You know what? It's amazing what happens when you smile at people. I enjoy it. I was walking through, I think it was a food line. And, you know, food lines sometimes get crowded. Safeway's worse. That's why I don't go there. And there was an older lady coming down the aisle. And my cart was kind of in the way a little bit. And I just quickly moved my cart out of the way. And as she came by, I smiled. Smiled at her. And you know what? Smiles out. It's not hard, people. It's not hard. We need to be aware of our countenance. Listen, you're representing Christ. Stop sucking on lemons. I see some people. Praise the Lord. God is here. Oh, my goodness. You need to get some Holy Spirit rubbed all over you. And get that sour put out of you. Smile. Be pleasant. Be winsome. Christ calls us to be winsome, to appeal to people. Now, let me ask you something. If you go up to somebody and you say, yeah, Jesus saved me. My life's pretty tough. Things aren't going very well. But, you know, you could become a Christian too. Oh, yeah, that's going to go over real well. I really want to become a Christian. And you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I need to be authentic. That's okay. I understand. But you know what? Just because you and I have problems, that doesn't mean we're not saved. Right? Just because we have difficulties, that doesn't mean we're not saved, that we can't testify with joy, the deep inner joy of what God has done for us. Listen, the bottom line is, I am going to heaven. Christ lives in me now, and one day he's going to take me to heaven. It doesn't get any better than that. No matter what I go through right now, so what, our church, you know, got knocked down and it's gotten flooded twice, three times. So what? It's a building. God will take care of it. But this is the church. You are the church. God's people are the church. I want to just pick on Miss Eileen Ali for a moment. She's down in the gas station down there by the church. And every time you go in there, she's got a big smile on her face. And you know what? People stop and talk to her. People actually start telling her all about their lives and all about their problems. She'll tell me. The lady came in, she started telling me that she was having such difficulty, and she was saying that she doesn't know what she's going to do, and she'll start telling her about Jesus. And you know what? They listen. Some of them don't, but many of them do. So we are to appeal, which means this. We are to invite them, call them near, implore them, beseech them. We are to implore them, which means to invite them, urge them, beseech them. I always like that word, don't you? I beseech you. I'm not sure what that means. It means I'm talking to you. I beseech you. Listen, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to persuade you. Let me ask you a question. Christian, how have you been allowing God to appeal through you to those around you who don't yet know Christ? How have you been allowing God to do this? Let me give you just a couple of simple strategies. It's a threefold strategy. You might say, Pastor, I'm really not sure how to do that. Well, let me give you a little bit of help. This is a threefold strategy. Number one, and I've already said it, live passionately for Jesus. Live passionately for Him. You got to be sold out to Jesus. I've got to be sold out to Jesus. People know if you're playing a game. People know if you're just being religious. And they don't like that. So live passionately for Him. Your life has to be appealing. Live daily in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, if you want to appeal with the message of reconciliation, the message of the gospel, build relationships with people that don't yet know Christ. Build relationships with them. Share your life with them. Now, I'm not saying you got to go out and do with them the things they do. I'm not saying that. You and I don't have to worry about compromise. Jesus is our example, is He not? Jesus went and hung out with all kinds of people. He hung out with the rough crowd. And He was criticized for it, for sure. But, you know, He said to those that were criticizing, it is not the healthy that need a doctor. He was bringing the message of hope to those who needed a doctor. They needed Dr. Jesus. So build relationships. Share your faith in an authentic way. Understand that it's a process. You know, if you only get to share a tiny little bit of the message of Christ, that's great. So what? Let it sit there. God will water it. He will grow that seed or bring someone else as well to fertilize it. Don't be fearful. Jesus said, don't worry about these things. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. Trust. Trust. Have faith that He will do what He said He will do. You might ask another objection that came, or not objection, but difficulty that someone expresses. Well, someone might ask a question that I don't know how to answer. I won't have the answer to it. That happens to me all day long. And if I don't have an answer, you know what? I'll say, that's a good question. Let me get back to you. And then I do. You have to get back to me. That's okay. It's okay. You might say, oh, I'm going to look foolish. So what? You are foolish. We don't know everything. And so it might need to be that we have to go do a little homework. We have to go study up on something. That's okay. There's a lot of us that know more than others. You can contact them. Ask them a question. And so live out of authenticity. Let people see that you are real, that you fail just like them, but you're not giving up. Let them see that you are turning to Jesus in your times of need, in your times of difficulty, in your times of stress. Let them see that you are authentic. So build relationships. Number three, and we're heading towards the end of here. Invite them to church service or another event. You know why the number one reason that people don't come to church? It's because they have not gotten an invitation. Now, if I was a newcomer in this area, and it's a little intimidating to say, well, there's a church that meets over in the high school. Now, if you're a Christian already, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who has some kind of interest in church, and there's a church that's meeting over in the high school. That's a little intimidating to say, well, meeting in the high school? That's kind of weird, isn't it? Supposed to have a church building. You know, then you walk in and you see all of you. You're all kind of scary looking. So invite a person to come to church and sit with them. Oh, let me back up to that. If you invite them to come to church, show up and come to church. A couple of weeks ago, there was a young man that was here. Someone else had invited him to come, and he came. And that other person didn't show up. I said, that's just crazy. That's just crazy. Just crazy. Just show up to church. Invite people to come and show up with and sit with them and encourage them, you know? He's kind of weird. Don't worry about him. You know? He'll be done soon. God doesn't be lying. Okay, I'm sorry. So invite them to a church service, or if you don't think they're ready for a service, invite them to a Bible study, or invite them to one of our men's events or a women's event, or create an event. Ask one or two of your friends, hey, can you join us? We're just going to go get coffee together. We're going to go down to Dunkin' Donuts and just talk. We're going to hang out. Folks, this is not that hard. But we have to get to a place where we are committing ourselves to do this. Because as the church in this country, we're floundering. We're not accomplishing what God wants us to do. He has laid this responsibility on us. We are His ambassadors. We are His messengers. We're called to appeal to people around us. We have got to find time in our busy lives to make this a priority. We have to. We have to. And you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I just don't have time to do this. You know what? That tells me that you need to simplify your life. And you need to make some new priorities in your life, because if this is not a priority for your life, something's wrong. Your priorities are out of whack. The love of Christ compels us, Paul tells us. It compels us, it constrains us. God wants to make an appeal through us. The last thing I want to share with you is this. I want to challenge every one of us here today to make what I call a hit list. You remember the old days that Mafioso had the hit list, and I didn't want to be on that list. But I have a hit list in my prayer journal. It's people that have not yet come to Christ that I'm praying for them. You see, because it's very easy to forget. And out of sight, out of mind. And I have people that I'm praying for. And I'm reaching. And you know what? I may not be the one to share with them, have the opportunity. That's okay. Because God uses somebody else. Amen. Right? We all work together in the kingdom of God. And I say, they don't have to come to this church. They can go somewhere else. Let me back up and say, you know what? If there's another church that somebody would go to, that they may not come to our church, but they would go somewhere else, you have my permission to take from this. Say, you know, I believe you would really enjoy the church. Go with them. You can miss a few church services here. That's okay. That's all right. Help them to get settled in the church. I think that's more important than having to be here every Sunday. That's what God wants us to do, amen? So, we've got to get serious about this. Put together a hit list. Who is God calling you to reach out to? Who is He put in your pathway? Who is He put in your circle of contact? The people that you interact with. Are you praying for them? That's one of the main reasons I write them down, because I easily forget. And so I pray for them, say, Lord, save this person. Open their hearts, open their minds, open their eyes to see Jesus. The beautiful Jesus, your Son. And then, Lord, if you can use me, I'm willing. I'm willing. Is that you? Can you say that today? Lord, I'm willing. So I challenge you, put that hit list together. Begin to pray for people. And begin to cry out to God for them. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that, Lord, you have saved us. You have found us, Lord. You have rescued us. You've called us to be your own. Because of Jesus Christ, Lord, we are reconciled with you. We are your sons, your daughters. We are so grateful, Lord. Today, Lord, you are calling us in the truth of your word to show our gratefulness. Let our gratefulness spill over into activity, into action, and to take this message to others around us, Lord. Lord, you want to use us. I believe that with all my heart. And if you can use me, Lord, you can use anyone. So, Lord, we are committing ourselves afresh and new today to get serious about people around us that don't yet know you, to pray for them, and then, Lord, that if you can use us, please do. We're willing, Lord. We're willing. Can you say that with me? We're willing, Lord. We're willing. Lord, break our hearts. Do whatever you need to do to get past the spiritual apathy that we all fall into. Lord, we're asking you to do it. Do what we cannot do. And we're asking you to do it. Jesus, God's help. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to ask my elders to come up front and a couple of my deaconesses. And we're going to close the service. But I believe there's some people here that God has been speaking to this morning. And you have not yet begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's very easy to do that. He's in to start the relationship with you. And so, as we close the service, our deaconesses, our elders will be up front here. We invite you to make your way on up here and let them pray with you. Share your heart that you want to know Jesus Christ. You want to start this relationship. Again, today is the day of salvation. Let me dismiss us in prayer. If you have to go, you go right ahead. If you need to come on down, we urge you, come. Do business to God. Receive the benediction. And now may the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the one who reconciled us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that grace that is ours in Him, and the fellowship of the indwelling Holy Spirit be with us all. Lord, let us walk close to you every day until we come together again. Be blessed and be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Greet each other before you leave.